know that the devil is a father of deception. Do you know what that means? That means he's better at deceiving than anybody else, because he's the one who gave birth to deception. That means he's like the father of deception. It's interesting, the world we live in, how that we can be deceived and we don't even know it. Now, the people that don't think that they can be deceived are actually being the most deceived. And those who say, well, I'm glad this one doesn't apply to me, you better listen good tonight. Because I want to talk to you about the deception of exceptions. What I mean by that is, in our world today, we find exceptions to what God asks us to do sometimes. And there's deception when we make exceptions to the word. I've had people come to my office and they would blatantly say to me, well, God told me to do this, when it's exactly against the written word of God. Did you know that God's spoken word will never go against his written word? Amen. And that's why it's important for us to know what the Bible says, to study the word of God so that we can be approved by God, rightly dividing the word of truth, so we don't buy into the deception of the enemy. Because I dare say we are all really, really good at being deceived. I like Monday night because I can kind of let my hair down. What hair I have left. I was thinking about, anybody here ever trained a horse? Raise your hand if you ever trained a horse. Yeah, there are a few of us here. I'm going to tell you something. Amber, did you raise your hand? No, Put your hand down. You're a preacher. I saw that hand, sister. My dad had a saying, he said, all horses have horse sense, but very few people do. Horses know about horses, but very few people really know about horses. And I've seen a lot of people who thought they were horse trainers, and if the horse didn't do what they thought the horse should be doing, instead of actually showing the horse how to do it by training him in a way he could understand and comprehend what the trainer is asking him to do, if he doesn't do it, he gets frustrated, and so he goes to whipping him. Anybody seen that? Yeah, it's like right off the bat, it's like, and it just shows actually the ignorance of individuals that don't know how to train the horse. They just go whacking on them. And so I want to talk to you this evening about listening. I had years ago, this came into my mind while I was thinking about this. Years ago, there was a guy, we would go, when I was a young boy in high school, we would go to a kind of like a roping deal where you pay so much to rope calves at night. We'd go rope calves, and this one guy would always go, and he was one of those guys that would whip his horse a lot, and he'd get frustrated, and he'd just go, and it was just like, he had this black horse, and this poor horse, I felt so sorry for this horse. And one night, this guy roped the calf, and the calf ran through the loop, and the guy had got off his horse, he jumped off the horse, and he stepped in the loop. And it spooked the horse, and the horse started running around the arena. And do you know, nobody did anything, and this horse is just dragging this guy around the arena, and everybody's going, and my dad, being a preacher, he went out there and saved the guy, cut the rope, all that. And there was a guy, his name was Archie Anderson, horse trader, and he, after everything was all said and done, Dad went over there, he was standing next to Archie Anderson, and Archie asked him, he said, preacher, why did you do that? He said, that's the only chance that horse has ever had to get even with that guy, and you messed it up. It's interesting that we all think that we know so much about things, but in reality, we really don't know that much. The older that I've gotten as a preacher and as someone who has studied the Word of God most days, every day, almost every day of, not every day of my life, but most, the majority of them, I've studied the Bible. And the closer that I get to God, the more I realize I don't know Him that well. Because He's so far above the way I think. And I want to talk to you this evening about humbling ourselves enough to the point where we're willing to listen to what God has to say, but also to where we're willing to listen to what people have to say. Because did you know God uses people to speak into our lives? Obviously, you know, you came to church, and I get that, and I appreciate it. But I want to talk to you. This is the first sermon that I've ever preached in my life that where I dedicated the whole sermon just to listening. How many times in the Old Testament does it say, God said, God said, God said, God said? And how many times in the Old Testament, after God said, the people heard what He said, but they didn't follow through with what He said, and there was consequences to them not being obedient to the Word of God after they heard the Word, or even if they were not willing to hear the Word of God? We spend approximately 60% of our communication time listening. They say we only retain 35% of what we hear. Actually, 2 months after a conversation, we only remember 25%. That's probably, yeah, probably less than that. I know it is for me. That's no surprise considering the average 8-second attention span that we all have. It's a wonder, you know, God, don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. 8 seconds, think about that. It's just like, it's a long time if you're sitting on a bull, I guess. When we're fully present in conversations, when we really listen, we have a chance to reduce redundancy and clear confusion. Simply put, we understand better. If we want to improve the quality of our spiritual growth and our character, we must value listening to the Word of God, listening to what God has to say, and actually setting specific times aside each day to be quiet before God and not to have any interruptions. Is there anybody here that lives in a pretty busy world, or is that just me? Things just kind of go, 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 go. Isn't, and really, who do you think has kind of arranged some of this busyness that we have in our world today? I don't really think that it's God so much as it is the enemy trying to rob us of specific time that we spend with God so that we can have a quality listening time. Deaf percussionist Evelyn Glennie. Did you catch that? Deaf percussionist. I bet you never heard those two words used together before. In the same way, she said this, in the same way that she needs time with her instrument, she needs time with people in order to interpret them. Not just translate them, but interpret them. It's not enough just to hear the message. It's another thing to interpret the message and allow the message to get down inside of you. Not everything that I preach, I make up myself. I study a lot of different people saying a lot of things. But if I don't own it, and if I can't interpret it, if I can't internalize what I bring to you, I should never preach it. And the challenge for me is to get you to own what God has put in me for you Because it's not just for you, but it's for me too, because we have to own everything that God communicates to us. And it's not enough just to hear it. We must be willing to interpret it. Many believe that talking is much more important than listening. Okay. We're going to talk about that next week. Their exception to the deception is that what they have to say brings more value than what they have to learn by listening. Did you know that you will never learn anything by talking? Because all you're doing is regurgitating what you already know. We value what we say because we think what we say is more important than what anybody else has to say. You don't have to say amen. I know it's true. Because many times when people are talking, we're trying to figure out how we're going to respond and what we're going to say about what they're saying. And when we try to figure out what we're going to say about what they're saying, we are robbing ourselves of the information of what they're actually saying. Okay. Well, there's three friends. They decided to go deer hunting. One of them was a doctor, one of them was a lawyer, and one of them was a preacher. And they went hunting, and a big old buck ran out in front of them, and all of them come up and shot at the same time. Well, they went over to the buck, and they examined the buck, and there was just one gunshot in the buck. And they were all arguing about who shot. You know how it is. Happens every time. Why are they guys? Well, the game warden shows up. He says, "What's the problem here?" The game, and they said, "Well, we shot this buck, and we're not sure who shot him." The game warden, he said, "Well, I can tell you who shot him." And they all looked at him. "You can't?" He said, "Yeah, give me a minute. I'll go examine." He looked at him, examined. He says, "The preacher shot him." They're like, "The preacher shot him? Well, how can you tell?" He said, "Well, the bullet went in one ear and out the other." Sometimes it happens that way. James chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, get your Bibles out and turn to James chapter 1. This is, I just invite you to underscore and underline this scripture in the Bible, because it's so relevant and it's so important that we get this message. James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this." In other words, write this down. This is important. Take note. "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all." Everybody say all. "All moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." The word planted, the word that is sowed in you and planted in you has the power to save you. It's important that we get the word in us. Amen. Verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself." The deception part. Don't just listen. Say, I got it. And so deceive yourself. Do what it says. "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who intently looks into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues," everybody say continues, not just doing it for 1 or 2 minutes, but continues in it to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed by what he does. You get it in you, you hear it, you get it inside of you, and then you begin to act on what he's saying, you will be blessed by it. So that's how important it is for you not only to be a hearer of the word, but also to take it in and let it become a part of you. Actually, as I can figure out, there's two types of listeners. Those who listen out of obligation. Don't raise your hand. Did anybody make you come to church tonight? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. Sometimes, like husbands or wives or moms or dads or kids even. We have kids on Sunday morning. They make their parents come because they give donuts away. They love church. They listen out of obligation. Have you ever been in a conversation and you're like, and then there's those who listen out of love. I just want to submit to you for contemplation this evening that the message that is being said from somebody else to you, it may not be so much about the message that is being given to you as it is about the heart of the individual as they are talking to you. It may not even be the words, but as the Holy Spirit helps you to interpret what people are saying to you, you can help people just merely by listening to them. Listen to this. This is good. They interviewed teenage prostitutes. In a San Francisco study, they asked this. They said, is there anything you needed most that you couldn't get? And their response, invariably preceded by sadness and tears, was unanimous. What I needed most was someone to listen to me, someone who cared enough to listen to me. Parents, our kids need someone to listen to them. Kids, your parents need somebody to listen to them as well. We bring honor to relationships when we pause enough to listen and to take time to honor that person. Even though you may be doing it out of obligation, I would challenge you the next time you feel like you need to leave a conversation to think about how much you actually love that person through Christ, even though that person may not be lovable. There is a responsibility as we talk as well to be willing to stop talking so that we can actually listen. Our society has been affected by the deception of busyness. It's kind of a hurry up sickness. I've got things to do. I've got places to go. I've got people to see. And if we're not careful, our busyness will rob us of the blessed things that God has for us of having a healthy relationship. I just want to say this to you. It doesn't always happen through the telephone, through texting, through emails. I believe that in many cases that electronics have robbed our culture of face-to-face conversations. And that's the way Jesus communicated. And I'm not saying that all of the electronics are bad. They're bad if we make them bad. They're not bad if we don't make them bad, but they are bad if we make them bad. And I just want to challenge y'all. And please, please take time to shut your phone off, to shut the video games off, to shut things off, and spend time with your parents, with your friends, actually talking face-to-face to them, because that's really the best way we can show our love for them. Amen. And I know it goes against the culture, but Jesus went against the culture all the time anyway, so I don't care about that. ironically, the key to communication is not necessarily sending messages as much as it is receiving messages. Communication always breaks down if one or both partners fail to listen. James tells us one of the signs of wisdom from above is being quick to listen. I would humbly submit to you tonight that the reason most people cannot distinguish between God's voice and other voices is because they spend more time listening to people when they speak than they do listening to God when he speaks. Now, I will say this. People say, "Oh, God doesn't ever speak to me." I would just challenge that. I just don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that is because God desires so much to have a relationship with all of us. But if we don't take those specific times and just shut everything out, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of my devotion times in the morning that I set aside for God, they get interrupted by texting and by notices. And then it's like all of a sudden my time with God has been hijacked. So people call me and stuff like that while I'm having my devotion. Most of the time I don't pick it up anyway. Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep know my voice." The more time you spend talking to somebody, the more you'll know their voice. Somebody calls you on the phone, your mama calls you on the phone, you say, "Oh, hey, Mom." You don't have to say, "Is this Mom?" No, you already know who it is because you spend a lot of time talking to her. He said, "My sheep knows my voice." When my dad went to Israel, I've told you all this before, but it's so relevant. All of the sheep from all the shepherds came to a central watering place. And they would all come in there. And then when the shepherd would leave, he would whistle his own special whistle. And when he would whistle, his sheep would leave all the other sheep and they'd go with the shepherd. My dad was a good whistler. I mean, he could whistle. I'm not very good at it. But he was a good whistler. So he thought, well, I'm just going to, he was going to try to mimic. And so he tried to whistle like one of them shepherds. He said, not one of them sheep came to him. Not one sheep. Did you know, listen to this, Satan is the best mimic that you will ever hear. And if he's so good at mimicking the voice of God, that here's what's it's interesting as a preacher. I'll just let you in on some of my stuff. When people say to me, "Well, God said," and I know God didn't say that because it's going against his word. I know he didn't say that. But when they say, "God said," we might as well just adjourn the meeting, because how are you going to argue with somebody that says God said? You just can't. You can't do it. I mean, their mind is closed because they think God said. Be careful when you say God said. Amen. Because the devil is a mimic, and it's always got to be backed up by the written word. The spoken word that he gives to you about a specific situation must always be backed up by the written word. God will never tell you to move in with somebody if you're not married to them. Hello. So true. I believe communication is an attitude. You have to decide that you're going to listen, and then comes the action part. You actually have to listen. I like the Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? And then he'll go over here. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? What's ironic about it, he never carries on a conversation with anybody. He just wants to make sure everybody hears him. Some people are just interested in being heard. But I want to say to you today, the most valuable thing that you can do is listen. includes the relationship with God. The truth is if you want a righteous life that God approves of, you have to learn the discipline of listening. I believe it has to be an attitude that we have with husbands, with wives, and wives with... And I'll say this. Everybody here tonight has people that you spend more time with. And you have to be careful about the people that you spend, because when you spend more time with them, you become familiar with them. And sometimes you get so familiar that you dishonor them because they're always there anyway. Husbands and wives, kids with parents, parents with kids, working relationships, people we're around all the time. If we're not careful, we will dishonor that person, not because we intentionally dishonor them, but because we are so familiar with them that we think that we already know what they're going to say. And sometimes it's true, but it's not all about that message as it is about honoring that individual. And I think it's important that we understand that when we honor people, we honor God. We must stop the deception that what we are doing is an exception to the value of listening. Instead of always prioritizing the phone call, realizing the person in front of us or in front of you may need your attention more than the one on the phone, even if it's a little person. I believe there have been times that phone notifications have robbed us of valuable notifications from the throne room in heaven. The deception of staying busy may be a distractive detour from the blessing of hearing a distinct directive from the heart of God. Sometimes the Lord gives us urgent messages. I read about President Franklin Roosevelt. I guess what they used to do years ago in the White House, that they had receiving lines. People would come to the White House, and the president would shake all their hands. And they said he endured a lot of long receiving lines, and he complained that no one really paid attention to anything that he said. So one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who passed in line, he would shake their hand, and he would murmur, I murdered my grandmother this morning. True story. And the guests, they would respond with phrases like, marvelous, keep up the good work. I'm proud of you, Mr. President. God bless you, sir. Well, toward the end of the line, one of the ambassador from Bolivia actually heard what he said. And the ambassador leaned over and whispered to me, he said, I'm sure she had it coming. There's a lot of different places that we can practice listening. A lot of us drive, we're in the car a lot, and we can specifically, intentionally take time out to listen to God, turn the radio off, or listen, even listen to podcasts of ministry. We've got access to so many things these days where we can have times of worship, where we set those times aside, where we hear from what God has for us to say. You can listen in the shower. You can listen while you're working out, you're driving your tractor, whatever you're doing. There's so many times that you can take time to listen. And I just want to say that many have bought into the distraction of the deception by thinking that we always have to have noise in our life, whether it's the TV or video games or whatever it is. And I just want to challenge y'all, you kids as well as you parents, to shut the electronics off and give God your most valuable time. Please say amen. Some never do anything but listen. You are to listen so you know what to do for God and for others. There's a purpose in listening. James exhorts us to learn to be quick to listen, because once we have learned that skill, it will help us to be slow to speak. Last Monday, Darla and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. So, pretty cool. So sweet. And we got to go to Florida. Some friends invited us to go down to spend some time in Florida Keys. And we stayed at a house there. It's just beautiful. And we got to just relax and spend some time together. And the last day we decided that we was about 2.5 hours from Key West, and we'd not ever been down there anyway, didn't know if we'd ever get back. So we decided to drive down to Key West. We drove down to Key West, and on the way back, well, let me back up. Thursday. Thursday morning, I was preparing this sermon. Because I was like, you know, you always got to preach. You know, it's always like, Sunday's coming. So I was preparing for this sermon about listening and the value of paying attention. So we drive down to Key West, and we had a great time, and we was driving back. And on the way back, Darla, we started talking about church things, and we kind of got into it a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't, but we kind of got into it a little bit, and the conversation got a little bit tense. And then we got back to the house, and it kind of elevated a little bit, and it got a little more tense. And then she said this. She said, "Randy, you're not listening to me." I've been studying about it all day long, and I'm like, I'm ready to preach this sermon, and then I wasn't even doing it. So frustrating. The deception of the exceptions, where we think we have it, but we don't really have it. God is so full of mercy. Thank God for a wife that is full of mercy. Thank God for grace. We all need grace. I have purposed in my life to be a better listener and stop thinking about what I'm going to say when other people are talking. And I will say this too. When God is speaking, even more importantly, don't be thinking about how you're going to respond. Let him finish. Because a word from God, please, 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 please listen to this. A word from God is the most valuable thing that you will ever have in your entire lifetime. Value God's word more than anything else in your life, because that's the most valuable thing that will ever come to you, is a word that God gives to you about your situation. Listen. It's important. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Jesus, so much for this directive that you've given us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts, I pray. Give us ears to hear, a heart to listen. Not just to hear, but to understand and to interpret what the Spirit is saying to us right now. In Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. One of the most inviting words that God has ever given to mankind is that Jesus said it this way. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door knock. If anyone opens, I'll come in and be with them." He said that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He said that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. But if we'd accept Him as our Savior, that He'd come in and be with us and He'd live with us. So this evening, I want to ask you a question. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for Him. Simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make Him the Lord of my life." We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody? "Preacher, that's me." Thank you. Yeah, we're going to put a Bible in your hand. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need God's Word. I need to spend time with God so that I know Him better. I want to hear God's voice. I don't want to hear the voice of the stranger, the deceiver." Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me. Serious, serious business tonight." Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you raise your hand, would you mind looking up at me? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Would you mind? Come on. Come on up and let me pray with you. It's okay. Yeah, thank you. This is so cool because what we do. So proud of you. What's your name?
Merlo Martin.
My name's Randy.
Hi.
I'm the preacher here. You know what the Bible says? That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that we'll be saved. And I want to help you pray. Can I help you do that? Okay, y'all help us too. Just repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus,
dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my life.
I invite you into my life.
From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name. Amen." That's that. It's just that. It's that simple. But it's just the beginning, okay? And some people just come down, but they don't ever show up again. But you need to be fed spiritually, spiritual food. You with me? And so just keep showing up and let us help you, okay? Would you do me a favor and go visit with these ladies for just a second? I love you, girl. Thank you. Will you stand with me, please? Praise the Lord. Whew. Didn't have anybody get saved yesterday. I'm so glad she come up because didn't want to mess that up. How many say, "Preacher, I need to be a better listener"? Raise your hand. I think we all do, actually. What I'm going to do is I want to pray for you, and we've got our prayer team up here as well. But I want to invite you, if you do have time, to come down and spend some time at the altar, because what happens with that is that you intentionally take time for God to speak to you. And you can do that at your home as well. But I just want to encourage you. This is, if you've been around here long enough, you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it till I die. There's something about humbling yourself and getting down on your knees before God. And if you can do that, you should. There's something about getting on your knees. I come down to this altar and pray like during the day, or if I'm having, by the way, if you want to come pray during the day and you're driving by the church, you're going, man, I'm just having trouble. I want to come pray. This is God's church, and you can come anytime you want to come, as long as the gate's open. But it's open all day, but we shut it at night, so whatever. I just encourage you, get on your knees before God. Let him do a work in your heart. Because if this culture needs one thing, it's we need to stay humble. Amen. So how many need, everybody that needs to be a better listener, raise both hands. We're gonna surrender like we do to Jesus. Bless him by raising our hands. Repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Help me to be a hearer of the word. Help me to respond. Help me to love people, not out of obligation, but out of love. I want to hear you. I want to hear people. Make me a better listener. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We love y'all. God bless you.